Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. Kaya Flynn with you up until 7 o'clock tonight, and I just want to say a big happy May the 1st to you. Can't believe it's already May, the month flew there, but I always find I'm always saying this anyway at the end of a month or the start of a new month. So, but I do think there seems to be a lot going on from now until the end of summer, so I can't wait to bring you as much of what is going on around the county here over the next few months. If you want to get in touch with me tonight, you can do so. We're on 083 300 3300 on text and WhatsApp as always, or email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie at any stage. On tonight's programme, you are going to be in for a treat. We are taking you to the St. Finian's Holywell back in the Cremorne direction, where we hear a lot about what it means to the community and how special and sacred it is too. We'll be hearing a little rhyme about the cuckoo a listener sent me in over the week as well, and we will revisit the archive of Sean Hurley, and this week comes from Cara Syveen. But first on tonight's programme, we are going to head off to an antique fair which was held in Ballygarry last weekend. I met with so many traders from all around the country, but I first met Eily as her stall actually caught my eye straight away when I saw a picture of Phil in it, and I had to ask her, what was she doing at the fair? So you're at the antique fair today, and you're the first stall I came over to because you caught my eyes with all these old pictures of Irish and famous singers. Tell us a bit about them. So right now we're looking at Freddie Mercury.
We're looking at Freddie Mercury taken in Slane, and these are all black and white pictures. They were taken by my husband Colm Henry, who was a fairly reasonable music biz photographer at the time, and he did a lot of work for Hot Press. And so he would be commissioned to go out and actually produce, you know, take photos of anything that was really going on in the music business. And Slane was the big event every year, you know, getting bigger and bigger. And so this one we're looking at here is Freddie taken from that time. We've also got a number of other ones from the Slane concerts. I'll just find you one. I'm flicking through the book as we go through. That's Bowie. And then we've got the Stones, and we've got Phil Lynott when he was there. This one that I just completely whizzed through is Sinead O'Connor taken at Dublin Airport.
1985.
When she was just going to London for the first time. And Colin was sent up to the airport to grab a shot of her before she left. And this is the one. And it's turned into a classic shot, and everybody loves it because I think you can see complete innocence in her face, can't you?
I was going to say, like, when you look straight into her eyes,
yeah,
she does look like your genuine 18-year-old girl about to travel
the
world.
That's it, absolutely. And that's exactly what the situation was. And it's amazing, you know, when they say a picture paints 1,000 words, just captured in that minute. You know, we all know her life pattern and everything, and she was nervous going over there and stuff like that. But she was a great model for photography. I mean, she was a classic beauty, you can see that. But she was natural and giving, you know, because not everybody wants to be photographed and not everybody's into it, especially when they're leaving for the first time. But she gave a lot, so that's how you can see it in that picture. So there's lots of them, really. I mean, it's bit Dylan again at Slane, the Dubliners, Shane, Rory Gallagher on his car taken on the docks in Cork, and that's his old Zephyr.
Your husband must have been travelling a lot, so, for these pictures.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he did a lot of U2, early U2 stuff as well. I mean, that was his job, you know, and he loved it. I mean, it was kind of life's work to him. But it's, you know, they always say that if you're doing something you like, you never work, because you're just doing what you like all the time.
But, and especially when you get to meet all these incredible people.
That's right, that's right. I mean, he took it for granted, you know. And when people look at them now, they kind of go, oh, my God, did you actually meet that person? Yeah, he did. I mean, he endless conversations with Phil, you know, and got to know him really well, Phil Lynott. But, I mean, he never thought at the time, taking these what have turned out to be really iconic pictures, he didn't realise what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I think with black and white photography, it doesn't age in the same way as colour.
No,
it and you doesn't. Can live with it as an image on your wall for so much longer. So, yeah, I mean, it's I'm delighted. I mean, it's great for me when I'm at an antique fair, because it gets everybody talking, because you'll be amazed at the amount of people that come along and say they were at these gigs.
Yeah. Now, personally, I wasn't even around.
Exactly. You're so young. We're such oldies.
And even look at this one. Did you really see Bob Marley?
Well, that was Bob Marley at Daily Mount, yeah. He came over. And he, unfortunately, died 6 months after that photograph was taken. But I think people look at that now and think, my goodness, was Bob Marley in Dublin? Yeah, he was, you know. I mean, a lot of things happened over that period of time that when you look back on it now, you're kind of gobsmacked at, you know, that it happened.
That's the beauty of pictures, though. They bring back all those memories again. You forget these things happen, but when you look at these pictures and realise that's Daily Mount Park in Dublin City, 1980.
Yeah, and it's Bob Marley, and at the height of his fame, you know, it's not as if he was just starting out. That was the height of his fame. I mean, he was very well known then. But he was a giver. I mean, Marley was a giver to people. You know, he was that kind of temperament. I mean, I suppose you could say he was obviously taken advantage of a lot because he was so, you know, giving as a person. But, you know, now look at the classic shots we've got of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, so many people love that shot.
That's it. Like, and no one can say, oh, I have that too. That's personally yours. Yeah. And you know, that's your story behind it.
Yeah.
Were you at any of these concerts when he was taking the pictures?
I was at some of the Slane ones. I wasn't at this one. I didn't actually know him when he took this one. We met late after this. But, I mean, he's a very self-effacing man. If you spoke to him now, he wouldn't think this is a big deal at all.
Yeah.
He's very quiet, very understated. But myself and my children, you know, his son, who's 23, he knows the value of them. I mean, he just wants to know more and more about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to put a collection. It's not just the photographs. He's trying to get anecdotes from the photo sessions that he did with these people, you know, because there's so much background information that goes with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would be talking away and chatting away.
Of course.
And to try and get that, because, you know, to get that from Colin, to go back in his memory and say, right, now, you know, when you took that shot of Marley, I mean, what were you doing? How many people were there? What was the atmosphere like? And particularly more so with these ones.
So we're looking at Phil.
Because he had endless conversations with Phil when he was doing those.
Yeah. You know. I wonder, how did he feel when he found out he passed away?
Oh, dreadfully upset. I mean, dreadfully upset. Everybody was, you know. I mean, we knew that he was having difficulties. Everybody knew that. But, gosh, you know, you never think somebody that young with that kind of an entourage around them is going to just disappear. You think somebody can step in and maybe take control and sort of save him from himself, in a way.
Yeah.
He
was making history.
Happen. Yeah.
He didn't realise it.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that's what it is, is that people don't realise what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works, you know. Mm-hmm. I think if you're conscious of what you're doing, then the whole attitude changes, and I think people can see it. They believed in him because he was a natural. He was just a natural.
Mm-hmm.
I met him once on a plane coming back from Heathrow. I was coming back to Dublin, and he was on a plane. And, I mean, you couldn't miss him, and he had an eye for women. I mean, he was just a guy like that.
Did you chat to him, or did you just see him?
Just a kind of very nervous hello. I was very young at the time, and I was a bit intimidated, a very nervous hello, and I was sitting about two rows in front. If I hadn't been with my boyfriend, I might have been a bit more over the top. But
that's very understandable.
Yeah, but he was a nice guy, just a really genuinely nice, generous man, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and we've the other ones we've got. I mean, the Phil and Rory. I'll have to talk about the Phil and Rory.
Let's talk about this one,
because this is Phil and Rory together playing together, and that's the only time that they did that, got the opportunity to. And then both of them died so young, really, considering that they never really came around to it again. And you two were the backup. They were support act on this one. It was a fundraiser for Hot Press in Stokestown, Punchestown, sorry.
1982.
Yeah. And it's just a classic shot. People who love both of them as being, the most important Irish musicians, really, bar you two, love this shot, you know, because it's just so natural, isn't it? There's no pretense, there's nothing. It's just two guys playing.
Even our eyes are closed in this one. You can tell just the passion is coming from them.
Well, they just loved it, you know, they enjoyed it. They weren't doing it for any other reason than just to get so much energy from it. So I love having them, I must say. Because, as I said to you earlier, I love the fact that when people come and flick through them, they brings back a whole load of memories. And for people your age group and younger, they're kind of amazed, like you were, at you know, what was going on here over that period
of
time.
It's just funny to see all these pictures and realise, like, the stories behind them.
That's it, exactly.
Because, like, that, every picture does have a story behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was Eileen at the Antique Fair. And I actually showed Pat Kelly as well afterwards, but the picture I bought of Phil Dinnett, and as soon as Pat saw it, his face changed and he was like, oh my God. And then he was sharing all his stories with me back in the days where he used to go see him. And I think he said that they were down in the KDYS one time, a number of years ago, obviously. But he was just so fascinated by the picture and all the memories that it brought back to him as well. So pictures actually do bring back a lot of memories that we don't realise that we have anyway. But there, that was Heidi at the Antique Fair, and absolutely fascinating pictures. And you can actually check them out as well. I took a picture of Heidi holding one with Sinead O'Connor, Bob Marley and Phil Lynott and Rory Gallagher. And that's on our Facebook and Instagram page as well. But that's not all. Here are some more recordings of the other traders I spoke to with their antiques. Hugo, tell us a bit about what we're looking at here.
This is a 9-carat gold fob dating from around 1880. It would have been hung on a chain. It's about an inch and a half long, with a swivel stone in the middle that has onyx on one side and a semi-precious blue stone on the other. Highly decorative, very popular, simple little thing to hang. Yeah.
You'd wear that as if it was a necklace?
Yeah, you wear it on a necklace, put it on a chain, yeah.
How did you get your hands on this?
I bought this, well, I'm in the antique trade quite a while, so I bought this from a jewellery dealer, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I get my gold in from people who bring it into me to sell from their house, from their houses, yeah. But this one I bought from in the trade from a dealer, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, lovely thing.
And this piece we were looking at here?
Okay, well, this is a crew grand, which is an ounce of 22 carat gold, South African coin, dating 1978. That's in as good as mint condition. It's never been in the box. I've never been out of the box since 1978. The value of that today is around about €2,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gold. Price of gold has gone up with COVID and with the Russian situation. Yeah,
of course. And is it hard to, you know, get pieces like
these
this?
Are getting scarce because they've been bought up globally. Gold is in high demand and it's been bought up by all the major countries, China, Russia, you name it, they're all buying it up.
Okay, Steve, you're here at the antique fair in the Ballygarry. Why are you here?
I'm here because I like to travel around Ireland and meet different people, and I've never been to Kerry before, but it's a very lovely county. I believe it's a county. It's a very lovely place. The people are very nice, and generally I'm just really interested in anything antique and the history behind them. Sort of fascinates me, the people that have owned them and the history of them, especially clocks, because, you know, in this day and age people are more interested in clocks that run off batteries, but the clocks that I sell run off cogs and wheels, and they're all handmade. And and to see an old clock work to me is fascinating because of the movements and the work that went into them and the decoration. I'm especially interested in French clocks because of the ornate styles of the figures and the faces.
You have are these a few French clocks right in front of you now?
They are French clocks indeed. We have a French clock at the end with companions. I think that was made by a guy called Dumouze, if my French is correct. That was made in about 1870.
Wow. How did you get your hands on that?
Well, generally we pick them up from auctions. Sometimes we buy them off people that, you know, are selling them on. They're all legal.
That's always important.
Listen, let's talk about these coins.
Yeah, well, I've been collecting them down through the years, and I don't know an awful lot about them, but I like looking at them. But the amount of people who've actually looked at them today has been fantastic, you know. Mm-hmm. And
where did you start collecting them from?
Home. I'm from Kildare, but my dad was a Ballyhive man, so I moved it down about nearly four years ago now. Mm-hmm. And then I bought the box recently enough, actually, and it's great to be able to display them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then these ones I would have got online and that, and
They're very unusual,
aren't they?
That's Snoopy. And that's Linus.
That's right, that's the set, and there's Lucy, you know, the set from, and like, you know, I'm selling them just for €2, even though they say there's some silver in them, you know, they're from New Zealand, but they're a lovely collector's item. And you know, I sold two of these a little while ago. These are the Alsatians, or the German Shepherd, and they say that's 2015, and they also say they've an ounce of silver in them. Wow. And a man bought two because, well, we grew up with Alsatians at home.
Oh,
so that's why I have them.
Oh, the love for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And like, even now, these ones, 1941,
yeah.
We have, you know,
it goes back to 28, when my dad was born.
Wow.
And, you know, it's amazing. But I'm only selling them for €1 now. Usually at this fair, there's always a couple of more people, because there's a very good lad in Lastole, and there's another one as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not here today, so a few people have said to me, oh, is there no coin persons here today, you know? So.
And then all of a sudden the briefcase opens up.
Yeah. But
you have quite a few items here.
I have,
and there's one that caught my eye as well, because it's just so miniature. This little piece, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Would you believe it? I bought that. I was in China, actually, very luckily, on a trip some years ago. And I bought it, and it's actually made of Delph, and it's not plastic, you know.
Oh wow! If I drop that now,
it would break. Yeah,
wow.
But the amount of people that actually have commented on that today, but not one person bought it. So
it looks,
but isn't it brilliant?
It's so cute.
Everybody
though
is admiring it,
and just the colours and patterns.
Yeah, so cute. It'd be lovely for a little one, but then she'd break it maybe, or you
that's
know.
It,
but
you know,
it could be ideal for a doll's house or even a little glass cabinet.
Yeah, that's
know
it. A lot of people make doll's houses, you know, just for, you know, looking at, not to play with.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Raymond, what are these? Am I right in saying these are binoculars?
They're opera glasses.
Okay, what?
They're opera glasses.
Okay, talk to me about
just,
them.
You flip out your lid like that there, and you adjust them then to your vision. And these here is just a wee single one. Twin single.
What were these? Okay, is it a silly question to say, what were they used for? Was it just for opera, like, shows or?
Spying on your neighbour.
Hey, I didn't want to say it.
No, that's what it would have been for. They would have been opera glasses. These, but having said that, they're more of a novelty. Now, they wouldn't be genuine. They would be a reproduction of an original.
Okay.
If they were original, you could multiply the figure by 10.
Yeah. And how old are these?
I would say they're around the 80s. Both of them around the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And where did you get them?
I bought them off a fellow trader at another fair. So I did, yeah.
Fantastic.
Sometimes we wheel and deal among ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hear that from a few people, which is good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
And this is an iron board, is it? Or
that's
an iron?
That's your Victorian travelling iron.
Wow. Can you describe what it looks like for people?
Well, obviously you can see it's in an old tin case.
Mm-hmm.
And that there, you just release that. You release that.
It's
you release
tiny.
That's your old flex. And that was your
You'd
iron.
You'd be iron for a few hours, I'd say, with this.
You'd be iron for a few hours. But that's what it was back in the Victorian times. It's a genuine antique. When I say genuine antique, it's 100 years of age.
Wow. That's incredible. And how does it work? Like, I see there's a little cord here.
Yeah. So that was, you travel that up. You know your travelling trunk? The Victorian ones? That would have been for the wealthy gentleman.
Okay, right.
So that's what that would have been for. That wouldn't have been for a working class person, because they wouldn't have been able to afford that. So it could have been even military, i.e. your India,
mm-hmm,
and all that era there, so it would have been.
Yeah, wow.
And there's nothing more to say on it except that it is what it is on the tin.
What does it say in the back?
I never looked to see it. Sunbeam, Chicago. It's actually an American piece, so there you go.
Wow.
Didn't ever even looked at that myself, you know what I mean?
Vernon, are you from Kerry?
No, I'm from Athlone.
Oh, wow, so you travelled down here today for the...
Yeah, I came down, got up at 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh my gosh.
So we came down, but it's a nice journey down.
Brilliant. So you have a few really interesting antiques here, but the first one that caught my eye was this old smoker man pipe. Describe what it looks like.
It's a sort of... it's carved wood. It's probably German. It's a sort of a... And you can see there's little holes there for the smoke to come out.
Oh, in the nostrils.
In the nostrils. So when you're puffing it, it'll be, you know, there'll be smoke coming out of his nostrils.
So that kind of looks like, do I say pirate or...?
Yeah, it's like German. It's like a German sort of Black Forest area in Germany. They used to make those sort of things. Mm-hmm. They're more novelty things, really. But they did smoke them, like, you know. There's a number of them there, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
that
more,
one is
they're
kind
planar,
of like an acorn,
yeah. That's like an acorn, that's planar. And there's another one there. Again, now that's like...
That's like a devil.
It's like a devil, exactly. So they were fun, like, you know.
Yeah.
But people collect these, like, you know.
Where were you able to get your hands on these?
Stuff comes in the door in the shop. Sometimes we go on trips away. Auctions, you name it. The sources are very random. Very random.
Yeah, definitely.
So people would be sort of sending you pictures of stuff all the time.
Yeah. And then I was looking at this. So this is the pocket volume of Shakespeare.
Yeah, so you've all the full set of Shakespeare there.
Wow.
I think that was presented to Robert Anderson, September 1885.
Wow.
Remembers Victoria? Oh yeah, it was Masonic. This sort of Masonic society. It was a gift given to him, a full set of Shakespeare.
And how long have you had this in your possession?
I'd say about 3 weeks. Sometimes you'd sell a thing in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd have a thing 3 years. You know, it's random enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, things move along, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you have quite a few different things. So you have pictures here and paintings. I saw over there, there's postcards.
Oh, there's everything. That's sort of the key to the business, is to have variety.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have notes, old livery notes.
That's another thing.
You know.
Where did you get these notes from? What's the story behind these?
These went out in the 77, I think, they went out. They came in 1928.
Yeah.
The dates are on them, 1966, 1959, 1973. They call that the Lavery note, because it was Lady Lavery was on each note.
How much was that worth back then?
It's a pound. There's a pound, up to the 10 pounds. But there's a 50 pound, which would have bought a field. There's the 100 pound, which you don't see very often. But we'd have a few of them.
And they're in really good condition.
Yeah,
you know,
incredible condition. And the condition sort of, you know,
that
will tell
matters.
You the value. It matters for the value, you know. If they were written on now, they'd be worth half the price, you know. But a good area. It's a very popular area.
And did you get those in Ireland or...?
Oh, yeah. People would sell us notes.
Mm-hmm.
We've Militaria there.
And these are like old lighters, are they?
That's for matches. So it's called a Vesta case, solid silver. You put your matches in there and you strike the match at the bottom.
Oh, wow, that is so unique. I've never seen anything like that.
So Vesta case, they're called. But they're solid silver. They're not all solid silver, but that's solid silver. They were for snuff. So go back a bit further, or go back to early Victoria, Georgian times. They'd always have a little bit of snuff that they'd be smelling. You know, that was their, like, tobacco, but it was snuff. They'd be putting it on their noses.
I think there's another name for that.
You will know exactly, yes.
And that was some of the recordings I got at the Antique Fair, which was on in the Barry Garry last Sunday week, and absolutely fascinating. I just found everything there that was... They're very interesting, and like that, everything had its own story. It could be just a simple little coin, as you heard from earlier recordings, or, you know, pictures that tell words, or even, I think there was this one recording I had, but I didn't put it on tonight, about stainless steel and the importance of that and how it actually keeps going. I think one of them came from the 1800s as well, and it still looks as new. But I'll probably put that on next week's show as well to just treat you to a bit more of that. But if any of you have any antiques or any stories behind your antiques or why you have them, are they coming from generations in your family? Do you collect them or go out to any antique shops? Do let us know. We're on 083 300 3300. But as I said, absolutely fascinating like that. And even like, I still find it really cool, like, we have our euro notes and whatnot, and you get your normal 20 euro, your normal 10 euro. But even just, do you remember the other 20 euro notes? And if you see one, you're given one of those now, it actually nearly looks fake because you're just so not used to seeing the old 20 euro notes. When did they put in the new ones? It wasn't that long ago anyway. But I actually had an old 10 euro note a few months ago, and I found it really hard to part with, so I wouldn't spend it, but I put it in a safe place, and I can't remember where my safe space is. So someday I'll find that tenner and actually be worth a fortune, hopefully. Hopefully I can actually find it. I can't remember. It's just disintegrated into my hand, let's be honest. We're going to take a quick break, but do get in touch. We're on 083 300 3300 on text and WhatsApp, or email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie. There'll be more after this.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom, where we go all around the county to see what's going on, what events are there, what stories are, and for you to come and join us as well every Sunday evening. And I do hope you're enjoying the show as much as I love putting it together like that. I've learned so much over the last couple of months. Like, it's just crazy. And I said this last month, but this is my fifth month in, so I'm really amazed at how fast time goes. But I always say that at the start of a new month, which is a bit silly of me. I just have to realise that every day. I always feel like there's never enough hours in a day. So, we'll work on that. It's all about getting up at the right time and whatnot. Now, last week I was mentioning about the cuckoo, and I was asking you when it should come along. So over the week I had a little note put on my desk, and it was a nice little hand note, handwritten, but no name on it, and it had a little rhyme for me, and it actually brightened up my week completely. So thank you so much to whomever sent it in to me and dropped by and even handwrit it and posted it themselves. They walked in over to the door and put it in, so thank you. I did get your letter, or your note even. And it says this: cuckoo comes in April, sings her song in May, whistles a tune in the middle of June, and July she flies away. So I absolutely love that. I'd never heard that saying before, but it was just so beautiful as well. So I love those little things. And if anyone has anything like that as well, don't be afraid to get in touch. If you want to write it in, we're on Radio Kerry Main Street. Email me, kflynn@radiokerry.ie, or just ring up. We won't bite. So I love little things like that as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to actually drop that into me as well. And I just thought it was a really nice one to put in as well. So the cuckoo is around then, so I must keep an ear out, and maybe an eye out if I can see him as well. Now, on tonight's programme, we are going to travel out to Cremant, to St. Finian's Holy Well, where I met with Patricia, Emer and Sean, who are all on the committee there, and they tell us about the well and what it means to them and their community. This is a very nice recording, so I really do hope you enjoy it.
My name is Patricia Donovan Coffey, and I am the chairperson of the committee at Cremant, Gimby Holy Well. Also on our committee is Pat Donovan, Emer Donovan, Sean Roach, Mary Roach, Connie Nocton, Tim Mulvihill, and Tim Mulvihill.
Brilliant. So tell us what you do here at the committee, Sean.
Yeah, we're a small committee here, and we're here to develop and bring back to its glory this holy well that has been here for the last number of centuries. St. Finian's Holy Well had been derelict up until 2012. It had got overgrown, and it was very hard to get access from the main road down to it. So there was a committee formed, and through that committee and through the work of the RSS scheme, Rural Social Scheme and South Kerry Partnership, we got some workers who cut their way down from the main road here down to the well, and over the last number of 7 or 8 years have developed a pathway down to the well, a grotto, and steps down to the holy well, and have opened up the well to the public. And the public can come down safely here, and they can meditate, and they can sit on the seats at the upper level and come down to the well and say whatever prayers they would like to say. Whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant or an Indian or a Hindu, it's open to all people to come here and meditate. And that's what we do. We have an annual walk every Easter Monday called the Patron Day to the Holy Well. It's 8 kilometres up and down, and at 2 o'clock every Easter Monday we have a mass at the well with the choirs, and over the years we've had the Kilorgan Choir, and last Monday, Easter Monday, we had the choir of St. James's Church in Glenbey.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what this looked like before 2012, before you did it up.
Before 2012, you couldn't get access down here. You had to cut your way down here, and it was impassable, and the well was in very bad decay. Over the years, it had gone overgrown, and earth from the mountain had fallen down on top of it. but it took the dedication of those workers, and especially Pat Donovan and his team and the RSS. And I also want to thank Rosari, our supervisor in Killorglan of the RSS scheme, for all her work and dedication in sending teams down here to work at the well. Now, the work in the well was done voluntary by the RSS workers, and the costing of that was given by local people. Whenever we needed anything, we went out and we asked the local people, and they supplied all the stuff here, the timber and the stone and any concrete, anything we needed, we got donations. We don't go out looking for money, but we look for donations from people to keep the well going.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying as well, for the Easter Monday walk as well, you get associated with some communities and charities.
Yes, every Easter Monday, whatever, our patron day, Easter Monday, we give that walk away to local charities or groups. And since 2012, we've given it away to many charities, local charities here and groups, and they have raised a total, I would say, it's nearly €60,000 over the years from that walk up and down to the well. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Tim and John and Olive Mulvihill from the Red Fox, where that's where our base is, so that we can park our cars down there and walk up to the well and back down to it. And we have refreshments and music afterwards every Easter Monday, and it's open to everybody to come. So just keep an eye on the website and on Facebook, and you'll be able to know when the next walk is on.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we ever started recording, you were telling me where we're situated, over by the mountains and everything. So describe what this place looks like.
Describe this place. First of all, you're 700 feet above sea level, and if you look out from the top of the road here as you go down to the well, you're looking to the east. You're looking at McGillicuddy Reeks and Killorglan, plains of Killorglan, all the way over there to Castlemaine. You're looking across to the Slievemish Mountains, and you're going left looking out towards Dingle Bay and Kelly Michael.
Mm-hmm. And so you were telling me as well, there's, as you come down, there's places to sit and reflect.
Yes, you can come down here. You don't have to come down to the lower level of the well. You can come down on the pathway to the grotto, and we have seats placed all the way along that route, so you can come and meditate and pray or read a book or get whatever spiritual feelings you have yourself, or just go in deep thought and meditate and look out over the beautiful valley in front of you and listen to the River Carra as it flows along underneath you. It's a very peaceful place to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just come back to yourself, both of you, with your father being, you know, a big asset to this place, how does it make you feel that, you know, if it wasn't for him, that a lot of this wouldn't be here?
What makes us proud, like, to be involved in it, and proud of our dad that he got it going in the first place, I suppose, really, that it was always something that he knew about, and his parents would have brought him here when he was younger, and his grandparents, you know. But now that it was so overgrown, even he took us here years ago, we had to climb through bushes and trees and everything to get here, you know. But it's lovely now to see what he has done and what he has, I suppose, got done to this day now. Like, it's lovely here, and to come up here and to be part of it. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah, and I think it's just lovely to show his faith too, in his religion and the way he was reared, and it does show on us as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I love coming up here by myself and just looking out and, you know, mm-hmm. reflecting on
a
it.
A good place to think.
Good place to think, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And like that, we have children ourselves now, so we're bringing them up as well, and we love it. We really do love it up mm-hmm. here.
And you were saying as well that your dad's mother came from around here.
Yeah, my dad's mother and father both came from down here, just through a couple of fields there. My grandfather that's where his house would have came from. So yeah, the well, they'd have always known it, and even the well, they would have a well running down for their water down to the house. They'd have always been bringing buckets of water from just the well down here as well mm-hmm. to the house. So it was their running water as well, I guess, you know. Yeah, so how things changed, you know, yeah. The way they had to survive and get the water and bring it over to the houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of locals around here, I suppose, would have been in the same situation, you know.
Mm-hmm, of course. Yeah. And you get a load of visitors around here.
Oh yeah, definitely. They come from abroad and they come from all up the country. There's a lot of tourists that even when they stop off and they ask about, some people are just interested in finding holy wells through Ireland, and others, they just pass and see the signs and they'll just pop in here and they just love it and leave little notes and little souvenirs and things. So it's mm-hmm. lovely to see.
Mm-hmm. Dad even said that, like, when he comes up here sometimes and he'd be working away and things, the amount of people he had met and spoke to from, they could be from Cork or anywhere, that have actually just found this place.
place like. Yeah. And he's had so many conversations with different people and things. It was really nice to hear that too, like.
Yeah, very special. And we were even saying as well, just the pieces of cloth that are on the bushes around the well and the candles and the mock tree cards. It must be a very sacred place for people to be.
It is, yeah, it is lovely. I suppose people do like to tin, and once they have a strong belief, really, in their own religion, it's lovely to leave little souvenirs, I suppose, in a belief that there is something for the afterlife or something to believe in or anything like that, you know. So they are, it's lovely to see when they light little candles and leave little souvenirs. It is lovely to see little statues, and always something new. There's any time we come up here, even if you come here once a week or once a month, there's always new stuff being brought by different people all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's lovely.
And and just finally as well, on Easter Monday, you had a mass up here.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
We had a mass. We have a mass every Easter Monday here at 2 o'clock. Yeah, we celebrate mass here at this holy place, and it's only right and proper that it's a very holy place and the holy well. And there's a great amount of people turn up to support it, local people and people from Tralee and Killarney and even back from Dingle. They come because they know it's on an Easter Monday and they want to be associated with it. And we also get the choirs from the men's shed in Killorgan, who's been very supportive down through the years. And now we have the choir of St. James in Killorgan, in Glenbey, and they came last Monday and they sang, and it was absolutely beautiful. And we also have a bagpiper who plays up on top of the valley there, and as we're walking up the mountain you can hear the lone piper as it flows across the valley.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like a calling that you're nearly
it's
here.
Calling that you're there, and it's lovely, it's enchanting, and it's a magnificent place. The view here is absolutely stunning. There was a gentleman here who photographed famous wells throughout Ireland, and he took photographs here, and he taught me it's one of the most spectacular places that he'd been.
And just with the way you organise the Easter Monday walk, and how it's all, you know, you get the choirs, you get the people, the charities and the pipers. How did that all come about? Where did that idea come from?
Well, that idea came from years ago because we were going to have the walk, and it's important that we raise money for a lot of local charities are struggling down through the years, and it gives recognition to the charities and it gives recognition to the Holy Well as well. And so it's a team effort from both sides, and the amount of money raised has been phenomenal, up to 60,000 for between the last 8 or 9 years here with different walks in total. And it incorporates the local communities, and they're all getting involved in it.
You definitely come to see this place because it is spectacular, like. Mm-hmm. And we love it around here, and it is a hidden gem, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even sitting here at the moment, like, the wind is blowing at us, you can hear the sheep in the background, and it's very peaceful. You can hear the water flowing down, you know. A very good place to go, I think, if you have a lot on your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
It is. And even a sunny day or a windy day, you have the shelter here down at the well, but a sunny day, it's beautiful, like, it's fabulous. And the scenery and the view from here is just fabulous altogether, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank Radio Kerry in fairness for the great work they've been doing for the communities down through the years, and your programme especially. And I'd also like to thank all the people who come here with us every Easter to support us, and also the fact that it's on the Kerry Way, we get the world of tourism. A lot of the people walking, foreigners, Americans, Germans, Italians, right through the winter season, they come in here and they go away and they get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And that was Sean, Emer and Patricia, who joined us here for Travels Through a Kingdom. And I met up with them last Friday week to see the Holy Well, and it was just beautiful. And I didn't get to mention that there, but just they have so many shrubs, and it's just the way the place is gardened and everything. It's just absolutely fascinating. It's so beautiful. Like, I actually can't recommend you enough to go out and see it. Even if you just want to see what it looks like, it's beautiful. If you have a lot on your mind, I would 100% suggest that you go there. It's just, I felt very uplifted afterwards when I came back from there. And it's definitely worth a visit when you do have a lot on your mind, or just even a really busy day, you know, when you, like, the last thing you want to do if you had a really busy day at work is come home and then, you know, you're not in the form. I think if you took 5 minutes there, you'd feel the world of good like that. And just being in the fresh air anyway always helps anyone to clear their head. Now, I also just want to say a massive hello to Pat as well. It was Pat's number I got, and he, Emer and Patricia, his daughters, spoke to me, and then Sean also spoke to me as well. But thinking of you, Pat, hope you're doing well, and thank you for everything. And like I said, what you did there is absolutely fantastic. You should be really proud of yourself. I know your daughters and all your friends are very proud of you, but it's absolutely breathtaking and definitely worth a visit, especially when it's on the Kerry Way as well. So yeah, I've done a few bits of the Kerry Way, but that's another place now I must start investigating and whatnot. Absolutely breathtaking, that's all I can say. So if you're going out to the Cremona area, you'll find it. Met the lads at the Red Fox. We drove up, but there is signposted in there anyway. Absolutely fantastic. And I also want to give a mention to Sean as well, because Sean was such a sweetheart. He brought me a little bottle to fill holy water in and to keep it in my car for safety and good luck. And he also lit us all a candle as well. So isn't that just, it's just, yeah, it means a lot to me when people do the small little things. So a big thank you, and for them to take the time out and share that story with us as well. We have a small few comments coming in here as well. Charles is enjoying the show and he says, happy May Day to you. Very interesting about all those old pictures of those singers. And he says, I wasn't at any of those concerts, but I do remember them at the time. Yeah, I wasn't at those, I wasn't at those concerts anyway. I don't think I was even thought of back then. But definitely, yeah, I say there's some memories with them. Or like, even when you do see a picture of someone that you used to absolutely admire as well, that just brings back memories of why you absolutely love them. Patrick's in the stone. He's enjoying the show. Thank you, Patrick. I always appreciate that as well. And Dermot and Margaret Ann in Tussis say they are having lovely sunshine in Tussis a couple of days a week and a lot of heat all the year so far. So yeah, we're getting lucky that way anyway. We're going to take a quick break, and after the break we'll be back with Sean Hardy's archive.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And it's the final part of the show already. It goes so fast, I know. So that means it's time for to look back at the archive of Sean Hardy, which we bring you every week here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And this week we'll be listening back to when Sean went off to Carsaveen to meet Marion Kenny, who was settling on her retirement.
Now we're heading to Carsaveen to meet Marion Kenny, extremely well known in the area, as she has served in the post office there for over four decades, and who, this week, retires from her job. I met Marion recently.
Marion, it's a pleasure to meet you, and you are retiring from the post office after all these years. Will you tell our listeners how many?
47 years.
And was it totally different when you started to join us now?
Of course it was, yeah. Different altogether. Yeah. It's gone more into, you know, there's all rules and regulations now, like in every job, you know, where that time it was much more lax, and we did the work fine, everything was done, and everyone got on with everyone, you know. We had a great time here, really. Yeah. But days, I suppose, you know, ups and downs, we all had our ups and downs.
Just wondering here, when you started, was there a telephone exchange involved?
Yeah, I was night operator in the telephone exchange. Mm. My mother was here before me first. My mother died suddenly back in 76, and I took over her job then, and I gave up the job in the telephone exchange, and I had a straight day then.
Telephone exchange in those days, you were plugging things
that's
in
right,
and out?
Yeah, and every second board was duplicating on those occasions, you know. And we had great times here. I suppose there's 18 of a staff here, you know. Yes. I've worked down through the years with them. I've seen a lot of them come and go, and postmasters, and some lovely men, and we had a few that were totally by the book.
Yes. And the postman in those years, it was all bicycles, was
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. And they had hard times, hadn't they?
Yes.
Because they were cycling miles and miles around the country. And now they have their vans at their disposal. I know there's a lot more in work now, because you're scanning parcels and you have to scan them, you know, scan them in the morning, scan them when you're going to the door to people, and it, you know, there's a lot more entailed. It's all modern technology.
Long ago, as you say there, the postman went through hell. Maybe around Christmas time more especially.
Oh my God, they would just come back in the evenings there and they'd be soaked to the skin. Absolutely. But they had great times because they were out on their bikes, and you know, coming up to Christmas, everybody was giving them drink, and they were coming back. We won't say what, what way they were.
Let's say they were merry.
That's right, yes, yeah. Yes, all the lads here, I got on very well with them, and there's just Josephine Shukru, she's my boss, and then there's another two postwomen, Helen and Josephine, and then the rest are all male. So to all my colleagues here, of course I'll miss them, but I'll be seeing them, because, you know, I'll be coming in, you know, because I'm only 5 minutes over the road.
And that was the archive of Sean Hardy. That one actually made me smile very much when you were saying about the cycling and whatnot. Never thought of it that way, but it's a handy one, I suppose. Put the bike somewhere else. And we bring you the archive of Sean Hardy every week here on Travels Through a Kingdom. I know a lot of you look forward to that as well. And over the week, I was at Castle Island Daycare Centre for Portraitry, which was on Thursday, and they were saying how you had such lovely memories of Sean calling to them over the years and how much it actually meant to them when he did call. So that's a lovely thing to hear as well. And I'll be bringing you some of our recordings from Castleisland very soon too. Now, that is almost it for tonight's programme. I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who took the time to speak to me at the Antique Fair. I absolutely was fascinated by everyone I could talk to. Unfortunately, you can't talk to everyone because everyone was busy and they were trading and whatnot. But just looking at the items as well, it is quite fascinating to see. I want to say a big thank you to Patricia, Emer and Sean, who met me at St. Finian's Holywell, and to Pat as well, and told me all about the background to it and what it actually means to community. And you can really hear that from them as well, how much it means to them. And as always, to you for listening and tuning in. I always do appreciate that as well. I'll be back at the same time next week, but you can get in contact with me at any stage, as my email is kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Stay tuned here on Radio Kerry as Elaine Kinsella is on the way with her 7 days, reflecting on what has happened on Radio Kerry over the last 7 days. I guess you got that with the name. And then Sean Riley will keep you company on this Bank Holiday Sunday with his Irish favourites as well. So I know a lot of you will enjoy that, and lots of requests already coming in. So until next Sunday, I'll see you then and talk to you soon.